Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Helen Morris, and in this show we are going to look at the understanding the roles and importance of early life support. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo Training profile. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comments box below. Right, let's get started. In order to understand the roles and importance of early life support in the service life cycle, we need to look at the life cycle stages of design, transition, and operation. In service design, we will have agreed exactly what the service is that we need to transform into our operational environment, and we will have agreed the exit and entry criteria that are appropriate for each life cycle stage. And in this way, we will also have identified what we're going to capture as part of early life support. Remember, the concept of early life support in the EITL framework is that period between transition and operation, which requires our development teams to still be there supporting the new transition in the operational environment to ensure that we have successful knowledge handover and that all of the skills and information that we require to support the new service or change to an existing service are in place. So, back to our service design stage, this is where we set up and understand exactly what will be required to deliver that early life support in the transition of a new or changed service. It's important to work with the stakeholders and the support staff at this point to understand exactly what they need, both at the beginning of the early life support stage and also at the end. If we don't establish clear entry and exit criteria at this point, it may become more complicated and difficult to define as we go through the various life cycle approaches. So, looking at the service design, we need to make sure that we have a quality gate which allows us to say, yes, early life support was successful, and this should be defined as part of our service design package. The service design package enables us to manage the whole of the service life cycle itself, through from strategy, design, into transition, and thence into operation. So let's look at exactly what's involved in that transitional activity of a new service or an existing service being changed. Those involved in transition will have acquired some of the information that they need to manage the service effectively, so we need to make sure that that information is captured in a way that's deliverable to our service operational environment. We need to make sure that when we are doing the build and the test, that we have captured the relevant information so that we understand the characteristics of the new or changed service and its behaviours and its architectural and management needs. By involving users and our stakeholders in our acceptance testing, we make sure that they are aware how it should be used. But remember, when we do user acceptance testing, we are only using specific users. This is not across the whole of our organisation, and it may not be across the whole of the element of the organisation that's going to receive the new or changed service. So in other words, only a small subset of people have had the opportunity to practice with this particular new activity. So when we look at early life support and the entry and exit criteria, we need to review the testing activity that took place in user acceptance testing to make sure that users can adequately use the service the first time they meet it. This will identify various training opportunities. We need to make sure that we have training opportunities captured for both the users, the stakeholders, and the support staff who will be supporting the service when it's delivered. Having an in-depth knowledge of the system, those who've been involved in the transition activity are best placed to deliver that knowledge and communication. However, they may not be skilled trainers, so we need to think about the mediums we use to deliver the information so that it will be acceptable and usable to our end user, stakeholder, and support staff. When we're looking at the support staff being trained, it may be appropriate to have them working alongside the transition teams and understand exactly how the service is being used. And this is the benefit of having our transition teams still working with us when we move into operations. But as far as early life support is concerned for the user base, it's much more important to have a more appropriate training mechanism which is suitable for user acceptance, and perhaps we use the people who are involved in the user acceptance testing so that they can do peer-to-peer training and develop an understanding on a user level. Early life support, though, is more than just about training and understanding how the new service will be used. It's much more about how we're going to actually maintain this service and deliver it effectively without causing any impact to the organisation. We should have a clear agreement as to how long this extra activity will work, because when we look at doing early life support and ensuring that we have a smooth transition into operation, it can be quite costly. If you think about it, we're effectively double manning the operational activity by having the development and transition teams still working on the service at the same time as our operational support. So making sure that we have an agreed exit criteria and a time frame as to how long we expect early life support to last is going to be important. That can be managed by creating it through the design stage and setting it up as part of our service design criteria, and making sure that we're ready to deliver early life support effectively when we go into our operational stage. Properly planned, early life support can make a very complex transition go much more smoothly and significantly reduce the risk of failures. If we don't do it in a planned way, then we can in fact increase the risk of failure, and there may be confusions over whose responsibility it is to fix anything. So here, using those operational level agreements that we agree as part of service level management will be absolutely key. We'll need to have operational level agreements between our operational support staff and the transition teams so that we understand who is responsible for fixing what, and then making sure we have adequate feedback and knowledge transfer if any incidents do occur. Measurement should also be a part of the early life support, because we need to measure the success of the transition as it goes through this important stage. It will be used to feed back any important improvements into the next transition that we do, so we need to make sure we capture it accurately and well. Any identification of a failure during the early life support stage may require us to take some radical action if it's particularly serious, and we may need to roll back the entire transition that we're looking at. In this case, we will take that information back and also provide that as part of our overall service knowledge management system so that we can do an in-depth analysis of what went wrong. It's important in service management to understand that we need to learn from our mistakes. But assuming that our early life support does not require us to have a rollback, we need to make sure that we have handed everything over successfully and well, and the exit criteria allow us to understand this. So making sure that we have an emphasis on knowledge transfer and also ensuring that we have service stability is all about what we're looking at when we look at early life support. So the roles that we have at this stage are making sure that our release and deployment manager is involved in our early life support activity, those who've been involved in the transition itself, so any technical management functions or application management functions, and we of course have our operations teams. So this is where we're looking at our service operation function and those involved in service operation control. We need to make sure that all of the appropriate skills and resources are in place, and the roles that are associated to this activity are clearly understood. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation on early life support. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio archive for Helen Morris. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com.